So on this second Sunday of Lent, our scripture readings began with this passage from the scripture from the book of Genesis chapter 22. A very difficult passage to comprehend. We were told that God tested Abraham, and he asked Abraham, "Go, take your only son, your only begotten son, and go to a place I will show you, the mountain of Moriah, and there offer this child as a burnt offering to me." What is a burnt offering? Feel free to talk right now. We're going to be communicating. What is a burnt offering?
A sacrifice.
Have you gone to a camp and then you set fire on a firewood? And that firewood burns completely into ashes. Can you imagine that? That is what a burnt offering looks like. You know, when you set fire on a firewood, and that wood burns into smoldering ashes, nothing remaining except ashes. That was the kind of request God was making of Abraham. Can you put yourself in the position of Abraham and imagine God asking you to do this kind of thing? You know, this passage we read can be very emotionally troubling to all of us, especially when we begin to think, how can this happen? How can God demand this from me? So what we read today reveals some central aspects of our faith. Because during this Lenten time, God is also trying to reveal something to us about the spiritual life through what we have read from today's readings. When we look at what God was asking Abraham, we begin to ask ourselves, what was the circumstances surrounding the birth of Isaac? Because the one that God was asking Abraham to sacrifice was Isaac, his son. We all remember, if we can refresh our minds, how Isaac was born. Abraham and his wife Sarah had no child until their old age. God commanded Abraham, "Go to a place I will show you. Leave your father's house, leave your town, leave your country. Go to a place where I will show you. There I will make you prosperous." And he challenged Abraham to look up the skies, and he said, "When you go there, I will make your offsprings as numerous as the stars you are seeing in the sky." And he made a covenant with Abraham, changing his name from Abram to Abraham, to let him know that, "I will fulfill this promise. You will be the father of many nations, and all nations will be blessed through your name." Abraham looked up to God and said, "How can this happen? You are telling me I will be a father of many children. But look now, at this old age, me and my wife, we don't have a child." That was when God made a promise of Isaac and said, "Look, even though you are 99 years old, you will bear a child. And that child will be the child of promise." And that was how they got Isaac. So Isaac became the child of the promise. And lo and behold, when this child was born, he was growing up. You can imagine the place of Isaac in the heart of Abraham. How important this boy was to them as a family. And lo and behold, today God is asking him, "Take this child, go to a place I will show you. And when you go there, offer this child as a burnt offering. Nothing will remain except ashes. We don't have to think about today's readings from the psychological perspective. What we have to think about is, what is God trying to teach us with this story of Abraham? Because what we are experiencing here is Abraham facing what we call personal crisis. Abraham facing what we call psychological crisis. Abraham facing what we call familial crisis. Abraham facing what we call physical crisis. Abraham facing what we call metaphysical crisis. It is from this perspective then that we can find ourselves in this story of Abraham. How many of us in this church have faced a crisis before? Raise up your hand. If you have faced a crisis in your life, if you have not, thank God. Because whether we like it or not, at one point or the other in our lives, me and you, we face what we call crisis. On the personal level, where things will affect you physically. On a familial level, something can happen in the family that will throw you into a darkness that you are no longer seeing any light. From the psychological perspective, something can happen to you that can destroy our minds, that we can no longer think. From the metaphysical perspective, something can happen to you and me that we begin to wonder, where is God? Why is God doing this to me? And that is where we find ourselves in this story. Whereby Abraham was facing something in his life that actually strikes the very foundation of his faith. And we are told how he handled it. Despite the crisis he was going through, he said, I heard you, God, I will do it. I will obey your voice. And that's what he did. So on a day like this, let us remember that how the first reading started was God put Abraham to the test. That was the language. God did what? Put Abraham to what? To a test. What is a test? That's something we have to think about. The test that was given to Abraham is nothing but two things you have to choose. Do you love the benefits of God, or do you love God? Do you love the benefits that come from God, or do you love God? These two things is what we continue to struggle with in the spiritual life. It is an existential problem whereby we are conflicted on whether we have to love God or whether we have to love the benefits of God. That is the way we have to see the test that was given to Abraham. And if we throw this question to ourselves, how do you balance it? If I ask you now, do you love the benefits of God, what God gives us as benefits, or do you love God? What will you say? Some are saying both. But as you say both, I want you to also understand the journey we are going through right now, that at a certain time in your life, you will become Abraham, where the benefits that come from God will be taken away from you one by one. When those benefits are taken away from you, one by one, will you still love God? That's the question. So this will then help us to understand the gospel of today, because what we read today in the gospel is called the passage about the transfiguration of Jesus. That transfiguration of Jesus, it happened just a few weeks before the death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus knew that his death would be a scandal for his disciples, because the disciples will also face this crisis I was talking about when the benefits of God will be taken away from them. Will they still love God? That was the reason for the transfiguration. Jesus took 3 disciples, James, John, and Peter, went up the mountain, and there he transfigured himself. They saw another dimension, heavenly dimension, of Jesus' existence. And we were told that within that time, Elijah and Moses appeared, and they were talking with Jesus. What were they talking about? What was Moses and Elijah talking about with Jesus? Who knows? I want you to help me. Who knows what they were talking about? They were talking about his death, his impending death on the cross. Because on the cross, everything will be taken away from him. Is it honor? It will be taken away. The honor he had, people will spit on him. Will he go into metaphysical crisis? Yes. He will doubt, my God, why have you forsaken me? Will he lose his friends? Yes. All his friends abandoned him while he was there. And so Elijah and Moses was talking about this with Jesus. And the disciples were there looking. Jesus was trying to prepare their mind that a time will come when everything will be taken away from you. Do not be scandalized. All he told them is that voice that came, listen to his voice. And that is the message of today's Mass. As me and you struggle with what we call the crisis of life, where do we stand? And where do we keep our faith? Whether we like it or not, in the spiritual life, something like this will happen to us, in which we face a crisis. When crisis happens, all we are told is, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And that is what we have to make a point of prayer today, asking the good Lord, help me when I go into this type of crisis that Abraham went through today. Help me so that I do not place all my hope and trust in the benefits you gave to me. When they are taken away, give me also the strength and courage to trust you and trust your word. Whenever we do that, we are on the right spiritual path. With this in mind, let us continue with our Mass.